Welcome to the Equine Body Talks podcast. We'll be diving into the equine industry from the lens of a body worker, talking to other equine professionals and discussing scenarios around soft tissue work for all equine athletes. I'm Kim Krebs, your host. I've been working for over 2 decades in this industry as a loper, barn manager, and body worker. With the many horses I've worked with in all of these capacities, it has driven me to want to continually find out the why and the hows of equine biomechanics, health, and performance. To help these athletes achieve their best potential while limiting the wear and tear on their bodies. This podcast is dedicated to opening the conversation around equine wellness, diving deeper into the whole body approach for equine performance horses. From last week's episode, you'll have gained some insight into why we wanted to dive deeper into the conditioning programs for horses. We have seen in the countless horses, when following the programs developed by Tina, that they have made remarkable changes in not only their fitness and muscle strength to do their sport, but also in the posture to be effective in using their bodies more efficiently and be able to then excel in their sports. So even though we have countless anecdotal evidence, we were looking to be able to show some hard proof that these programs in fact do build tissue. This is where Energy Equine and Dr. Chad Hewlett come into the picture. Tina approached Chad to find out if we could possibly find a repeatable, measurable location with the help of imaging to conclusively show growth in the targeted tissue. Dr. Hewlett chose to use ultrasound and, based on the horse's own skeletal structure as guide, find that repeatable location on the back, which we could access for multiple check-ins. We'll hear Dr. Hewlett's description of where he chose to measure, but effectively, it was the core tissue over the lumbar region on each horse. The program we used was developed by Tina Watkins. Tina, as most of our listeners will know by now, has been my mentor for the last 3 years and owns and operates In-Hand Equine Therapy. Tina has worked with some of Canada's top equine athletes, including those competing at the Olympic level. Her programs have been followed by literally thousands of horses over the years and have had major impact on their competitive careers. Each horse had a checklist of the program to follow daily, tracking where they were at, what exercises and reps they were able to achieve, and notes of where they were either cheating in the program or fatiguing. When doing a program, it's critical to be able to observe the horses and not just push them through based on number of reps you are wanting to achieve. Next was choosing the horses. We needed to have a variety of horses, but also ones we could manage and ensure the program was being followed thoroughly. So we each had 2 from our farms involved. We also wanted the horses to be relatable to anyone who wanted to view and follow the programs themselves. So we have a high-end athletic mare, a pony that while being ridden consistently was not in the best posture, a mare coming back into sport that had been off for a number of years due to an injury, and a gelding who has been used at a high level of competition in the past but has been in inconsistent work for multiple months. Tina's mare Serena was our high-end athletic mare, who has been in consistent work throughout her life and maintained in a good condition. Serena is an Andalusian mare who competes at the FEI level in dressage. Prince was our pony, ridden by Tina's daughter Maddie. It is important to note that Maddie, at 10 years old, did all the exercises herself with some modifications for her size and ability, but showing that any body could do these and achieve results. Prince has been in constant use as a beginner jumper and all-around horse that she rides pretty much every day, even if just bareback in the field. So he was in good fitness, however, with a younger rider, not always ridden in the best frame, so posture was a big factor for him. Julie was our rehab project. She was a high-performance cutting horse that during a run had tweaked her stifle. Any attempt prior to this to bring her back to the show pen always resulted in her re-injuring that stifle. You'll see through the study that the postural changes we were able to make with exercise essentially has brought her back to maintaining soundness. Nevere, a cutting horse gelding, was a horse who hadn't been ridden very consistently, and had in fact been in complete rest for 2 months leading up to this due to a personal situation that had me away from home for long periods of time. All the horses were evaluated prior to and during the study by Dr. Hewlett to ensure they were sound and capable of the exercises we were asking of them. The programs consisted of warm-up, in-hand work, isometric exercises, stretches, riding, and cool-out. There were some modifications to each based on their level of fitness entering the program, and, as we mentioned, for Tina's daughter, for her own physical limitations. Julie was not able to start back under saddle right away because of the poor top line from being sidelined for years, so her riding started out by being ponied. The results were surprising as we worked through the 6 months. In today's episode, you're going to hear excerpts from the full study we compiled and then have put on our online platform at inhandequinetherapy.podia.com with a compilation. We also wanted to ensure that it was accessible to whomever, no matter what your level of training or study was. This way, owners, trainers, body workers, and all other professionals could utilize it for their own benefits. Specifically for body workers, it was an opportunity for them to further their knowledge of how to work with a variety of cases, watch and hear the movement assessments of each horse, and rewatch these evaluations as many times as needed, as well as have a reference by which they could develop programs for their own clients. We had some delays and hiccups due to the COVID pandemic, as well as changes to the programs from not being able to ride in the arenas or safe footing. This was, after all, a Canadian winter and spring, so weather played a big part. No matter where you live, though, and what is going on in your daily routines, life will get in the way. So these hiccups just added reality to our study and what would need to be done in a real-world situation. Ultrasounds were done on the horses at the beginning, the middle, and the end. Partway through, we sat down as a group to discuss the program up to that point. Involved in that discussion was myself, Tina, Dr. Chad Hewlett, and vet tech Megan Orange. Here's a part of that roundtable discussion.
So the study that we put together and participated in is kind of an amalgamation of two different groups coming together. It's interesting how the minds think the same. Tina and Kim were already on a path, and at the same time we were talking about some of the stuff we want to do for winter conditioning and kind of putting things together. So just fell into our lap and around Christmas time, first part of January, that they had decided to put together four horses, two each, right? And Megan and I have been talking about in our practice how we want to do some rehab stuff and mix that together. And I said, well, I'm going to just throw it out to Tina. And it just kind of, everything just kind of blended together, right? So the nice thing for us is, I think if we look at it, Kim's not only a body worker at this time, but also rode horses, trained, and been a part of the industry for quite a long time. Tina and I have been at this for 25 years, doing body work and sports medicine together as veterinarian. And Megan's completed the certification at Tennessee in the last year and has spent about 10 years now in practice. So I feel like we have a pretty good group of people that have come together with a significant number of years of doing things. So I think that's the other thing, is that we've all had interest in the horse for our entire career.
And then Chad and Megan, can you tell us why you chose the region of the body that you chose to be able to do the ultrasounds and what significance that gives us?
I think there's a couple of things off the top. Is we were just looking for a repeatable area, right? And so that the ribs have kind of a curve to them, and the transverse process of L5, L6 is more of a flat ridge, so that you can, every time you pull over, you just, like, you're there, right? Like, it's just repeatable. And it also fits because we're looking at core health here as much as anything, right? In the sense of wanting to make sure that bridge or the core is looked after, and I feel like that's a really good place to.
I think that I was going to talk just a little bit about the importance of having this many different sets of glasses on when you look at a performance horse. So with Megan's training in some body work, but also being a tech for so many years, and now with the rehab, she has a set of glasses that she looks through the horse at and really hones in on specific things that are important to her and stand out to her. Chad, being a veterinarian for 25 years, has a set of glasses that he puts on in the morning, and that gives him an idea of what's happening with the horse as a whole and where he would go to look at. Him being a body worker for the last 10 years and also riding quite high level Western performance horses will have a set of glasses on that she looks through when she looks at a horse. And myself, being a dressage rider and being a body worker for the last 25 years, gives me a set of glasses. And I think no matter how you're trained, the more sets of glasses that you have that come together on a specific performance horse, the better picture you get. So here in another video, if you guys choose to look at the webinar series on each of the horses, you'll really see Chad's opinion on the horse come out and my opinion on the horse, and then a little bit of a round table on four different sets of glasses that looked at the same horse on the same day doing the exact same exercises and the exact same eval program. And we all picked up something different. And it's those four different views today coming together on those horses that are really going to take those horses to the next level. Dr. Hewlett says for all of the horses in the eval that none of them are lame, but all of them have something that's going on with them. They're all in performance, been working, worked as young horses, coming back to work from an injury. And it's going to allow you then to see how a horse is going to come at a certain level of ability. And with the four different sets of glasses that were just here in this study, is going to then be able to be catapulted to the next level. So I think that's something that's kind of neat for us to look at and invite all of you guys to look at for your performance horses. Meg, would you let us know what your feelings are?
I think this study that you guys have put together and these exercises that are done from the ground are super important. I think it's something that's very often overlooked because people, the spring comes, everybody gets excited. I'm super guilty for it too. We just want to get out and riding our horses. And having been through personal injuries myself, and this is where I find sometimes people relate to it easier because they can't always relate to the horse because it's not something they feel. But I've myself had a back injury due to weak multifidus, which is part of what we're looking at in this study. And going through the physio for that, it was the little kind of, I guess what some people would say are annoying exercises that made the biggest difference to help strengthen those tiny little stabilizer muscles that Ed, before my own injury, didn't even realize were a thing. So it's been a learning of anatomy in the human and also the horse, and that interest follows over to it. So with exercises like this that the body works and that have put together, they're things that you can add to your regime on top of your riding, especially now having that reduced time, I guess, under saddle that most people would have this time of year. When you can get back to it, will help you get that much farther and maybe a little bit faster with the time off that we've had. Ideally, down the road, help prevent an injury from happening versus, you know, people being like, oh, my season's going to start. I gotta get going and try and do things too quickly. We can help build those little stabilizer muscles that down the road are going to help stabilize our joints, help our tendons and ligaments in the areas function better, and hopefully give your horse more longevity over time instead of rushing through your leg up season because time's been cut short and then we're seeing you at the vet clinic with an injury and then any potential season that you did have with it already being short is gone until next
year. Super valid point. And I think that's the interesting part about this study and the reason why we chose the four horses that we did. One, obviously, Tina and I were able to be in control of the timing and exercise, the commitment that we made to do this. So that was important. But also all four horses are coming into this from different time frames of their own. But it is pretty interesting to see how each one of these horses has so far responded to the exercise regime and conditioning program. But then on top of it now with, I mean, they've had to have some things change with the conditioning program because of the COVID pandemic as well. So it's been exciting. And I know today we are pretty excited to see some of the changes that were shown on ultrasound. So that's cool. We also see oftentimes where you have somebody that is very up on wanting to make sure that their vet work is done. Other people that may be more into really wanting to work with the body workers. And yes, they get vet work done, but it's more only when dire. And then others that do just sort of do their own thing. And so one of the things that I was really excited about this study was the fact that it really incorporates all of these elements together into one and shows just the benefit of being able to use these targeted conditioning programs to be able to see the ultimate benefit instead of just using one or the other or little bits, but actually using it all as a whole. So I'm excited to see, you know, how things continue on. Really excited as well just where we've come so far.
Dr. Hewlett and Tina, also at the beginning of each of the four case studies, did a full static and dynamic evaluation to determine the areas that each horse might need help with, from both a veterinary and a bodyworker standpoint. You'll hear them explain here in a moment how they systematically go through their evaluations in a general format. The individual horses' full evaluations are available on the learning platform and are an invaluable tool for anyone wanting to hone their skills and their eye as to how a professional first addresses a horse. Here are their general observations.
Okay, so we're going to go through what I look for in just a general balance right away. And when we're looking at every horse, it's the same every time. Horse comes in, it's a quick evaluation of the biomechanics, how my horse is built, and I'm going to look at a couple of really quick overviews, okay? First one is, how long is my neck? How long is my back? Okay, no matter what I'm doing, I'm going to look at that immediately. I'll make a mind's eye view of that. I'm also going to look at the size of the foot. I'm going to look at where those front legs are landing. How is my hip sitting? Is my pelvis wanting to do this inside of it? I can imagine that, so I'm just going to get that overview. I'm very careful to see what's pointing. Like, does my horse want to keep one leg forward? Does it want to rest one hind leg? It doesn't mean we're going to give that a total weight, but those are things we're going to look at, okay? Then the next thing is I just want to watch this horse walk down, walk back. We'll do our distance. I'm going to look for an overreach at the walk every time that I watch these horses go. I'm going to watch the hips, and I'm going to watch the head as well. And I like to look at those. Those are my three indicators at the walk that we're going to follow through with. And on the trot, for an evaluation, I'm going to look at my hip movement and my ear movement. And this is general overview. So three things are what we're going to look at the walk and the trot.
From the body worker's perspective, when we're looking at the horse in a general way, it's very similar to what Dr. Chad had just said. We want to look at the horse's proportions and see how the horse stands in general. For me, I look a lot on posture and try to look for areas of the body that have higher peaks or lower valleys. That often tells me where there's a tight spot or a weaker spot that is pulling the body out of a smooth top line profile and underline profile. When I am generally looking at the horse as well, I'll lightly run my hands over the entire surface of the body, just looking to see if I can feel any areas of heat, tension, cold, or anything that feels like it has any movement under the skin, so that the nervous system has some reactivity just in general as I go. It is best if they are standing on all fours for this, just so that you get a little better picture. And I would do that on both sides of the body for my general impression. Then we'll have the horse move and see if we see anything in general as well. I like to look at the horse in a bit of a box shape. I like to create that shape in my mind's eye so that I can visualize if part of the body is coming outside of that box shape. So I really take that box shape and I put it onto that pelvis all the way down to the front legs. And if you guys do that in your mind's eye, you'll really see that we've got some significant asymmetries and imbalances in this horse that we'll get to in the more detailed portion. But that training your eye to put that box around the horse really gives you a good idea of how to look for things. In my overview at the trot, it would be the same. Oftentimes, horses that have some stiffness, their box will actually get smaller. So they'll have less mobility through their body. And you see that this horse is a good example of that. He actually gets tighter in the trot and his boxes get skinnier.
Conditioning is something we are always working on and towards to improve our horse's ability in sport. The results we saw in the study with a consistent yet basic program on four different horses at different levels of fitness even had us surprised at what we were able to achieve by virtue of seeing the depth of growth in the core tissue. Because of the large amount of content we collected for the four case studies and over the six-month period, we decided to package the information in a way that makes it both affordable and accessible to all. Each horse's case study is available separately. You will get the full history, static and dynamic evaluations by Dr. Chad Hewlett and Tina Watkins, along with the outcomes of each horse through the study. The actual program is also available separately for those wanting to just look at the exercises and stretches performed, along with detailed video of each one to know you are doing them properly, and a tracking sheet to follow your horse's progress with. If you are interested in the whole package of each of the four case studies and the program, you can buy it as a bundle and save. We of course always want to promote the team approach as well, and highly recommend you work with your wellness team of veterinary, farrier, tack fitters, and bodyworker professionals to have your individual horse's needs addressed. Our hope is that you could incorporate the findings of this study to utilize with these professionals to get your horse into and then maintained in the best condition possible. If you have any questions in regards to our case study, please connect with us through our social media or by email at office@inhandtherapy.com. Links for the study will be in the show notes and on our social media. We'd love to see before and afters if you're willing to participate in the study itself with your own horses. Be sure to send those directly to us at our email office@inhandtherapy.com. Thank you for listening to the episode. I appreciate each rating and review you can give to help grow this podcast and ask that you please share it on social media and with your friends. Reach out to the social media pages on Facebook and Instagram under Equine Body Talks to know about upcoming episodes and to connect with me if you have areas you'd like to have discussed or guests you'd like to listen to. All of our episodes can be found on my website at KrebsEquine.com and our Equine Body Talks YouTube channel. Remember to always be an advocate for your horse and not be afraid to open the conversation around your horse's wellness team.